You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the Law of Attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover your passion, then share the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step of the way.
Hello, this is Paula Kidd Casey. Welcome. This is my show, The Lawyer of Attraction, and you are on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. I am glad you're here this week. I have a wonderful guest that I think will bring a little bit of different perspective to some of the things that we've talked about before. She is a very big fan of the Law of Attraction. I met her a couple years ago. We had a cruise. The Law of Attraction Radio Network had a cruise. Wonderful people were on the cruise. And Christina Futrell was one of those people that ended up sitting by us. I didn't know her at all. She was by herself, which is very brave indeed. And we became very good friends and have stayed in touch. And one of the things that attracted me to Christina's is number one, her amazing energy and her knowledge, but that she had so many other modalities that she helped people work with. And one of those was ancestral clearing, where she actually does one-on-one sessions with people and helps them understand why they're stuck in some areas of their life. And it goes back to some of the ancestral things. She works with vibrational healing, bioenergy balancing. She has so many different areas that she is an expert in. And I wanted to bring her on and have her talk to you about some of these things that could be very helpful in your lives. Because right now, we've got a lot of chaos going on in our lives, outside of our lives, and we might be a little lost in what our next step is. And I think this is a great episode to give you an overview and maybe give you an idea to get in touch with Christina. So we will be right back with Christina Futrell. And we are back with one of my favorite people. I met her a couple years on the radio, Law of Attraction Radio Network. We had a cruise and we became very good friends. And I was very impressed with everything she did. So I would love to introduce you to Christina Futrell. Christina, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
Well, we appreciate you taking your time to talk to my listeners, because one of the things I was impressed with is you have so many different ways of helping people. And although you weren't really a presenter at the Law of Attraction Radio Network when we had a cruise, there were six or seven of us, you had so much to offer. And I know that you talked to a lot of people and I was very impressed. So I wanted to have you on and explain to everybody kind of your story and what you do to help people get in touch with their purpose and their passion and their higher self. So, Christina, tell us kind of your story, how you got here and how you started working with. And I know that you and I have worked together on the ancestral clearing, which I think is just fascinating. And I'm still not sure I understand it. But tell us how you got to this point in your life of helping people.
A lot of what I do was influenced by my mom. Actually, she's a naturopathic doctor, and she would always go to seminars and conferences, and she would be learning these different techniques, and we would kind of laugh at her sometimes because to us, they just sounded crazy, you know, but the more we talked about it and I learned about these different things, you know, the more I understood, okay, maybe there is something to this. So she was a big open door into my life, into the natural healing techniques. The things that I do now are a little different from what she does, you know, and I grew up in a very fundamental, traditional Christian home, which really greatly influenced me a lot. But I started not questioning my faith, because I've always felt really connected to God, but I started questioning, you know, the teachings and the doctrines and the dogmas that I was raised with. And I started opening my eyes a little bit to a different perspective on the world and people and the spiritual realms, and it really kind of transformed me and how I look at things and how I look at people. And it also helped me to branch out in these different, you know, techniques that I found through, you know, friends or, you know, things like that, that really spoke to me. And emotional and ancestral clearing is one of them.
Well, was there one specific event that kind of awakened you to say, hey, maybe there's a lot more out there? Or was it just a natural evolution of thinking outside the box?
It was more of a natural evolution of thinking outside the box.
And how did you get into the ancestral clearing? Because that is outside the box.
It is actually a friend of mine who I met through an Access Bars class. Access Bars is another technique I do. He gave me a free subscription to this emotional ancestral clearing practitioner. His name is John Newton, and he's my mentor. He's who I learned and trained under. And so that's kind of how it started. And I've always been really, felt really connected to my ancestry. I always wanted to learn about them, who they were, what their life was like, you know, how their lives shaped my life, you know, everything. So I've always been drawn sort of to the past. And then adding a, you know, a healing technique, working with, you know, not just my ancestors, there's a lot more components to that, but it really spoke to me. And it's such a cool technique that is fast and simple and gentle, but also like very eye-opening. And it really makes you understand how complex we are as people, as humans, you know, the things that go into us, the things that shape us, why we are the way we are. You know, there's a lot that goes into that. And this work kind of delves into all of those different realms.
And, you know, I think our ancestors are amazing because they raised our grandparents, who raised our parents, who raised us. And so, you know, there's that ongoing culture that gets passed down. And then I know that we have DNA that gets passed down on how we look and, you know, how tall we are and stuff. But there's also, and because I've done this with Christina, and I was very impressed that our DNA also has memories, right, of things that have happened. But tell us how you do this ancestral clearing. Tell us kind of the basic way it works and how you take somebody through this process.
Okay. Emotional and ancestral clearing is a technique that identifies and releases the energetic burdens that we carry, whether they're from an ancestor, a prior soul experience, if you believe in that, a collective consciousness experience, or something from our own personal life. It's not just about our ancestors, but that does play a big part in it. And these energetic burdens that we carry often contribute to the unwanted patterns and experiences that we have in our own life. So whatever issue it is, whether it's a money issue, health issue, relationship issue, there's often a much older piece, a core piece that is bringing about these symptoms, you know, that you think it's a relationship issue with your husband, but there's probably something deeper going on than just what's coming out between you and your husband. So this is a technique that identifies these key moments in time and what we or an ancestor made them mean, because judgment has a big part to do with it. And I don't mean judgment in a bad way, but, you know, the meaning that we give things contributes to the beliefs that we have. Mm-hmm. And you and I both know how powerful beliefs are. They run our entire lives, you know, and what we experience and how we contribute to others and things like that. So this is a technique that identifies these key experiences. We find out what the meaning is that ourselves or an ancestor gave that experience. And then the work that I do, it has a lot of forgiveness, you know, prayers, connection with God, with the divine, to clear it from our energy fields, from our bodies, from our subconscious minds, so that it allows space for, you know, miracles and change to happen.
I love the miracle part. So how do you do that with other people? I mean, do you get into their energy? How do you find out what is in your client's background and their history that needs that? How do you do that?
A lot of it is intuitive on my end. And some of these things that I pick up intuitively, you know, I'll share with clients. Sometimes I don't, because it might not be helpful, you know, to share certain things. But through the process, the experiences and memories that are coming through are coming from the clients. I'm not giving them any information at all. Their own selves, their soul, their bodies are bringing these experiences to mind. So it's really coming from them. I'm just kind of there as a coach.
So you ask them questions and then they answer the best they can. And then maybe they answer things they don't even know that they were going to answer because it's on a deeper level. How does that work?
So for an example, I had a client who wanted to work on her hip pain. She had hip pain all her life. She said she tried several different things to get rid of it, went to doctors. She could not get rid of this hip pain. And so part of the clearing technique is you close your eyes. And for her, this was a physical situation going on. So she closed her eyes, she put her awareness on the hip that was hurting. And I will tell her, notice the first image or memory that comes to you as you're putting your awareness on this area of the body, what's going on in that scenario. And sometimes for a client, it will be something from their own personal life that will come up. Sometimes it will be kind of like just an idea that flashes in their mind and it didn't happen to them personally. So they think that they're making it up, but they're not. Those are often the ancestral memories coming through, maybe a prior soul experience memory coming through. And for this client, the image or memory that came to her was, it wasn't her, but it was a woman who was in some type of position of servitude. She was maybe a slave, you know, she had someone like a master, you know, someone in charge of her who had authority over her. And this person was trying to sexually assault this woman. And she was trying really hard to keep her legs closed so that she wouldn't be violated. And in that struggle and trying so hard, it affected the hip area, you know, maybe put the hip out of place or something like that. And so I said to my client after she identified this memory that came up, you know, what is this person saying to themselves? Like, what's going on in their mind as they're experiencing this happen? And for her, it was something like, I can't get away. I'm trapped. I can't get out, or something like that. And so we use that statement, that judgment, you know, and we incorporate breath work into it. And while they're, you know, my client is doing this breath work, I'm doing the clearing work, you know, often silently. And that connection with the creator and acknowledging that experience, acknowledging what it meant to that individual, allows it to be released, not only from, you know, the subconscious mind, but also the body, you know, because our bodies are like information receptacles. You know, we carry so much data. It's scientifically proven that cells have memory, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. everything that happens to you, you might not consciously remember, but your nervous system remembers, mm-hmm. your mind remembers, your soul remembers. So we have all of this information stored in our bodies and our minds and in our souls. And we can access that information if we know how, and, you know, we can use the information that we get to help us heal. So for this client, you know, we went through the process and her hip pain ended up going away. She, you know, she doesn't have the hip pain anymore. But the interesting thing is, you know, oftentimes what we're experiencing now is a symptom of a deeper issue. For that, you know, ancestor that went through that, she had this belief of, you know, like, I'm trapped. I can't get away. Can't get out. And for my client, who was not sexually assaulted in her life, she didn't personally experience that. But with this hip pain, it was so constant and it was so there. It was still the same energy frequency of, I can't get away. I'm trapped. I can't get rid of this pain. So even though the experiences were very different, it still has the same underlying energetic vibration to it. And the interesting thing about this client, like her mother had problems with the same hip. Her sister has problems with the same hip. Her aunt, you know, had problems with the same hip. So it's definitely something that was so profound to that individual that it was passed on through the, you know, through the maternal line to, you
know. So did it help her relatives when you did the clearing?
I haven't asked her. Okay. I should ask her if, you know, if her family members have experienced, you know, relief, because often, you know, we live in this time space reality where we think there's a separation of time, but really, you know, they say there is no time. Time is an illusion.
So that's a whole other program.
It is a whole other program. Yeah. It is. But the cool thing is, like, when we heal, we're also not only helping ourselves, we're helping our ancestors, we're helping future generations, because we're all connected. You know, we're all connected because we're humans, we're part of humanity, we're connected, you know, because of the DNA that connects us. You know, you are literally a piece of your mother and your father. You came mm-hmm. from their bodies. A part of them is living within you. Mm-hmm. They're with you always. They might be, you know, dead, but spiritually, energetically, they are with you always. And that goes for your mother and your grandmother and your great, great grandfather. You know, I believe that they're aware of us, that they are all rooting for us, and that collectively, you know, humanity will move forward as one unit, because, you know, we have this illusion that I'm a separate person from you, you know, but really, we're not. We're all connected. We're all part of the same source, you know? And so when we heal, it helps other people heal as well, whether they're alive or dead or not even born yet.
I love that, because we all are connected, right? We started out part of the Big Bang and we're just stardust, and we're all the same. We're all the one. I love that. I'd love to find out if that did help some of her ancestors, because you're right. When we make ourselves better, that energy actually flows out to the universe and helps change everything. Right.
Absolutely. And forgiveness is a big part of this work. And, you know, I grew up in church, and the concept of forgiveness that I grew up with, a lot of people feel like, well, if you forgive someone, that makes what they did okay, that it doesn't matter. And it's really hard for people to forgive when they have that type of perception or meaning behind the word. But really, one of the other things that I'm into is, you know, I like to write and I like to research the origin of things, how things, you know, started. And one of those is etymology, which is the origin of words.
Uh-huh. I love that too. Uh-huh.
If we look at the word forgiveness in English, it means to offer up, to forego completely, to completely give up. And what we're doing when we forgive is we're not saying what you did doesn't matter, what you did is okay, you hurt me and it's okay. That's not what we're doing. We're just offering up that pain and the burden that was placed upon us by somebody else and giving it to God, to the creator, to source, who can then transmute it. So it's not following us around anymore. You know, it's not the burden that we carry.
And that's somehow we think when we forgive somebody, it's they are the ones that are getting the benefit. And our forgiveness means we are giving up that energy, right?
It's absolutely.
It's like, you know, drinking poison and expect the other person to die. When you're angry, that's not hurting them. That's your vibrational karma that's hurting you. But when you forgive them, I love that. You're just giving that up and it heals you.
Absolutely.
And to heck with the other person, but it heals them too. But when you hold a grudge, that doesn't hurt them at all. I mean, we've got it so backwards, right? On how we're doing this.
We do. And if you look at the theory of quantum entanglement.
I love you. See, this is why she and I were good friends. We just talk. Okay. Tell us about entanglement.
You know, the quantum entanglement theory, you know, which is, you know, two particles, you know, can be affected by the same phenomenon, even though they might be on complete opposite ends of the galaxy. You know, what affects one affects the other.
Because what they were connected, right? If they've been connected and then they're pulled apart, they're always connected. That's they're always entangled, right?
Right.
And since we were always at one point in time, we were one, right? We all started at the same time. We're all entangled with everything else.
Right. And the wonderful thing about forgiveness is a key ingredient in untangling us from the energetic mess that we found ourselves in.
I love that.
And that's really what it's doing. You know, that's what forgiveness is doing. It's untangling us from the mess, whether we, you know, had a part in it or not. You know, forgiveness helps to untangle us from the mess so that we're not in it anymore. It's not affecting us anymore and we're free to move forward.
And how do people do that? How do they get to forgiveness? Is that what you're doing when you're doing the ancestral clearing?
The ancestral clearing uses a lot of levels of forgiveness that is supporting the person in releasing the, you know, the burden, the trauma, you know, the energetic imprints, you know, of hurtful past experiences, whether in our own life or others' lives, and supports them in a lot of times having a different perspective, you know, which allows them to forgive, like consciously forgive on their own. You know,
I love that.
We can't force someone to do something, you know.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
We can't force somebody to do something that they don't want to do, that they're not ready to do, you know.
Well, I love what you said, different perspective, because, you know, just people out there that are listening, if you could have a different perspective of what is going on, right, that's one of the ways that you can get a little bit bigger picture and realize maybe it wasn't, right, everything that you thought it was, because we have immediate knee-jerk reactions to things that trigger us, right? That we think has hurt us. And I love the fact that you help people get a different perspective.
Perspective really is key. It drives everything, and everyone is unique. We all have our own perspectives. You know, if an alien were to land on Earth and ask 100 humans what life is like here, they would get 100 different answers, you know, because we all have a different perspective. And I think that's one of the great gifts that, you know, God gave us. And on the flip side of that, it can also create conflict, you know, if we allow it to, and if we hold on to our perspective as being the only right way, you know, that creates a lot of conflict in relationships with other people, you know, relationships with our environment. You know, that is really where, you know, a lot of conflict comes from, because we all have a perspective and we all think we're seeing things the right way. And we don't want to admit that maybe, you know, maybe our perspective, you know, not that it's wrong, but maybe we can change our perspective and look at something differently and not be so set on our belief of what's right.
Right. And understand where the other person comes from. Bob Proctor has a great metaphor. He picks up a book, and he, actually what he does is he picks up the book, Think and Grow Rich. And as he's holding it up, he says, there's nothing on the front of this book, right? And the other side says, no, that's not right. He goes, there's nothing on the front of this book. And the other side says, no, it says Think and Grow Rich. And they go back and forth. Well, the back has nothing on it, right? Who's to say what's the back and what the front? So the piece that Bob was looking at had nothing on it. He's thinking that's the front of the book. The piece that the other person on the other side was looking on it had Think and Grow Rich. And it was just, it's where you were looking at the same exact thing. So we think we're right. We think we're right. We think we're right until we like peek around the book and realize right. that there is something different. And so really, number one, I think not being so entrenched, right, in exactly that we're right, and being more open-minded to see kind of where the other person is coming from helps us to get that bigger perspective, don't you think?
It does. And, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, come into play with why we see things the way they are. You know, our families, you know, our parents had a big play on that, you know, the dynamics and the families growing up, your culture, your environment, you know, your own personal inclinations or insecurities, you know, like they all have a big play in what our perspectives are. And it doesn't mean that one is right or one is wrong, but it does create kind of a filter,
right?
A consciousness filter of how we're seeing things, how we're perceiving things. And when we can change our perspective, you know, we all have core beliefs, and sometimes they developed on their own through our own experiences. A lot of times they can be, you know, passed down through the lineage or whatever. You know, one of my core beliefs was I'm not safe. You know,
I was just going to say that, you know, we are so entrenched because the very one thing is because you don't think you're safe. You can't give that up. Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think that's a great point.
Yeah. If I have a belief that says I'm not safe, that's going to influence how I see the world. That's going to influence my relationships with other people. It's going to influence my biases and my assumptions that I have about situations or, you know, people, things like that. But when we work to identify what these core beliefs are and we allow them to, it's kind of like shadow work, you know, we acknowledge them and we say, you know, is this serving me? Mm-hmm. Is it something I want to stick around longer? And if the answer is no, then, you know, I'm free to change that. I don't have to hang on to that. I'm not safe. You know, and this work
but
helps.
Saying it and feeling it are two different things. How do you get to the point that you feel safe?
A lot of times, going back to the emotional ancestral clearing work, you know, identifying these key moments in time and what we made them mean, you know, is a big game changer for a lot of people. You know, if someone works really hard on a picture for their mom, you know, they're maybe 5 or 6 years old and they're so proud to give it to their mom. And the mom had a really bad day that day, you know, and the mom could kind of care less about the picture and probably told the kid to go in their room because mom just wanted to be alone. That little kid doesn't know, you know, kind of what's going on with their mom. So this little kid can walk away saying, I worked so hard for my mom and it wasn't good enough. She told me to leave. And they could walk away having a belief of something like, I'm not good enough.
Right.
I'm not good enough. I can't make my mom happy. Can never make my mom happy. She's never pleased, you know, it's never good enough for my mom. And they'll remember that. And so when they have other situations come up that elicit a similar response, it's going to keep reinforcing that belief of, I'm not good enough. I can never make her happy. It's never good enough. And that affects not only their relationship with their mom, but it can affect, you know, a relationship with a teacher or a boss or a spouse, you know. So these core beliefs come up, you know, we often see the same patterns in our lives showing up again and again. You see the same patterns often throughout generations, you know, showing up again and again. Why? You know, there's a reason why. And the cool thing is we can identify the why and we can clear it out so that it doesn't have to keep showing up anymore.
I love that. I love that. I think that's unique. It's brilliant. I know that there's a lot of science behind it because I know you do a lot of research. You love all that stuff. I'm sure there's a lot of documentation that this works, right?
There's a lot of testimonials, you know, not only with my clients, but especially with my mentor, John Newton. He's been doing this a long time.
Did that mentor start this? Did they find it like with ancient, you know, shamans? How did it actually start, if you know?
He learned a lot of this from somebody else, but, and I don't remember his name offhand, but he developed it further into his own technique.
Okay. Do you have any other examples you can share with us when you did the ancestral clearing?
Like with clients?
Yeah, like with clients where there was, I know sometimes you clear the emotions and there's nothing right there immediate, right? It kind of takes a while for it to integrate into their lives. But do you have some other success stories that you can share with us as far as ancestral clearing?
Yeah. One of my clients wanted to work on financial issues. And with this technique, you don't really have to know anything about your ancestors. You know, if you're like, well, I don't know who my grandmother was, you know, like it really doesn't matter. Sometimes, a lot of times, you know, if it's not your own personal experience that comes out, you know, it will be, you know, just an anonymous ancestor or maybe a prior soul experience, you know, coming through. You're not going to necessarily identify, well, that was my great, 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 great grandfather. You know, Sometimes it happens, but usually it doesn't. This client wanted to work on financial issues and we went through the process and she happened to intuitively know that this was one of her great grandfathers. But again, a lot of times it's not necessary to know, you know, exactly who it was. But for this particular instance, it was her great grandfather who, you know, lived during the Great Depression and lost everything and had like 10 kids to take care of, no job. And so the memory that came up was her great grandfather going into a store and asking the store owner for some food just so his family could eat for that day, even though he couldn't pay for it. And the thing going through this great-grandfather's mind was, I don't have anywhere else to go. Like I don't have anywhere else to go. This is my last resort. And it was that I don't have anywhere else to go that was also showing up in my client's life, because they would find themselves in these financial emergencies where they would have to go and ask people, you know, for $1,000 or whatever they needed because they had an emergency going on. They needed it like right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it was that same energetic resonance of, I don't have anywhere else to go, that was showing up in my client's life. And after, you know, doing that clearing work, she told me a few months later that her financial situation, you know, had gotten a lot better. You know,
wow.
She was, you know, getting, you know, income from places that she didn't, you know, even see as a possibility, you know, 6 months prior, you know. So it really does have the ability to really change and transform, you know, what we're experiencing in life.
I love that you do that with people. I know that you work with some other modalities, and we've talked about that a little bit before. So we have a few minutes. Let's touch on some of the others. I know you do intuitive messages from spirit, which is like channeling for people, right? Is that kind of what you're doing?
A little bit. Yeah.
Talk to us about
that. We're all channelers.
I know. We just don't acknowledge it.
Right. We're all picking up on, information from non-physical sources. A lot of, growing up in the church, Christians call it the Holy Spirit or right. Jesus, we all have access to that divine connection, that wants the best for us and loves us. And it's there to communicate with us, anytime that we're ready for it and that we're ready to receive it. And so,
How do we know that? How do we know we're actually receiving that? And it's not just our imagination telling us things.
I don't know if there's really a definitive way of knowing it's not just your imagination, but even if it is just your imagination, if it's helping you.
Right. And how do we know it's not your higher self using your imagination to tell you to do these things? Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I had a lady on my show, Christy Whitman. I don't know if you know her, but she's got a couple of New York Times bestsellers. And she said, I had channel envy. I always wanted to channel, because I think it's easier to channel than to try to just talk on the radio. And a couple of years ago, she just literally quieted her mind and said, tell me what you want to tell me. And she's now channeling. She calls it the council. And when she channels, she sounds like Katharine Hepburn. She's got this deep English accent. But she doesn't even know what she's saying. So I think it's there for all of us if we invite it in. And I know you're very good at it and you use that to help other people. So how do you do that?
A lot of meditating. Quieting your mind, being open and receptive to what's out there for the highest and best. There are a lot of currents, energy currents, thought currents out there, just like in our physical world. We have air currents, we have currents in the water. There's energy currents out there too. There's like radio waves. How do you mm-hmm. listen to the radio? You set your dial and it comes through. They're all streams of energy, of information that we can tap into. And some of them are wonderful and other ones, are not so wonderful. And it's really kind of up to us what we want to tap into. If you're feeling angry and frustrated and you start getting thoughts and ideas that are resonating, with that energy, that's not your higher self talking to you, picking up on something out there. Because they say, I don't know who said this, but I've heard it before, when you speak, the vibration of your words and the vibration of your intention goes on forever.
Right. Energy, right? Energy can either be created nor destroyed. And we put it out to the universe. And law of attraction says we get the same thing back if it's on the same frequency.
Right. And the same thing with thoughts. We think our thoughts are contained in our heads, but really, we have these fields around us. And a lot of times our thoughts are out here, and we can be influenced by the thoughts of others, the beliefs of others.
Right.
Even if they lived 100 years ago, we can tap into that information. So really being aware of what you're tapping into and the quality of the message that you're getting, is a big indicator of, is this from the creator? Is this a divine message, or am I tapping into a lower energy frequency that is really not,
When you're doing intuitive readings for people, I'm assuming you're getting into their energy space, right? So you can talk to the people that are wanting to talk to them on from spirit. Is that right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And that's something that, of course, I'm sure you have to have their permission, although you could probably do it without their permission, but that's what you do to help them understand things from spirit, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then tell us some of the other stuff that you do. I know that vibrational hearing and access bars. I think the first time we met, you were telling us about access bars. Tell us real quick about that.
Access bars is a technique created by the access consciousness people. It's, you know, points on the head. It's a touch therapy. It's an in-person therapy. And touching these certain points on the head helps to release, you know, the judgments that we have, the, you know, energetic implants, you know, that were placed, you know, upon us by our family, you know, our family belief system, or if you grew up in a strict, rigid, belief system, you know, it helps to kind of release those things so that we're open to new possibilities and open to new ways of seeing, you know, life and ourselves. And
so it's just a different way that you work with people to release some of these stuck emotions, mm-hmm. I guess stuck might be a good word, right?
Yeah.
So Christina, yeah. How can people work with you? Tell us how they can connect with you and contact you and how you work with people, how that looks.
My website is soulwithfire.com, S-O-U-L, soulwithfire.com. You can email me at Christina@soulwithfire.com. I do phone sessions, video sessions. I do in-person sessions. There's some other, you know, hands-on techniques that I do.
Where do you live?
I'm in the Cleveland, Ohio area.
I knew Ohio.
There's vibrational healing techniques that I do that helps to work with the chakras, activating the chakras, clearing attachments, unhealthy attachments that we might have, panic, shock, trauma clearings, all sorts of different things that can be done on, you know, long distance as well. And the emotional ancestral clearing can be done long distance. So I work with clients over the phone and then also locally in person.
Well, and if they like want to schedule, go ahead.
If they, you know, if someone's interested in scheduling a session, they can just go to my website and, you know, either click on phone session or in-person session.
Okay.
And it's real easy.
Well, I would like to say that I worked with Christine about a year ago. I think I was one of your guinea pigs, or we were doing something, and very insightful. She knew some things I had no idea that she would know, and gave me a different perspective, right, on how I was to view everything. So I would definitely recommend, if this is something that has touched your soul or you feel like this is something that would help you, I would definitely encourage you to reach out to Christina. Like I said, she was kind of like a shining star on when we were all together on the cruise. And
even though I lost my voice.
Oh, I remember that. And she was by herself, but she ended up at our table and we just loved her and had it. It didn't matter to us. She lost her voice. We just kept talking.
Yeah.
I forgot you'd lost your voice. Well, you still kind of got stuff out, but yeah, that's a weird thing. That's something we could talk about on the whole thing, but thank you so much for being on the show. I just love what you do. And I think it's unique. And I think there's a breath of fresh air. And I think it can help a lot of people out there. So thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention real quick something that we didn't really touch on. And
sure.
I don't know how much longer we have. You know, as you and I, you know, believe we are co-creators with, you know, the universe, and the idea of God, creator, that I was brought up with, you know, in my belief system is really different from how I view the divine God source now. Mm-hmm. Much broader perspective and knowing so much, there's so much we don't know, you know?
Right.
And everything we believe is just because other people believed it and they told us to believe it, you know, but really they have no way of proving what they believe. No one has really any way of proving what they believe. It's just if we choose to believe it or not. And the word person, you know, we all identify as a person. It comes from the word persona, which is Latin, and it means a mask, a false face. And so often we all wear so many masks.
Oh, wow.
We wear a lot of false faces, and it changes depending on where we are in life. You know, as a child, we had a certain mask. As adults, we wear a different one. You have a mask that you put on with your children. You have a different one that you put on with your husband, different one with your coaching clients. You know, you have a mask as a customer. So we all have these different masks that we wear, and we kind of hide behind these masks. But the question is, what's behind the mask? What's behind the mask? And if you don't have anyone or anything to compare yourself to, what's left? The creator.
The creator's spirit, there is, huh?
You know? And so when we understand who we are behind our masks, which is Creator God, we know who other people are too. And other people are Creator God too.
Right.
And when you see a person not in the light of that's a bad person, they hurt me, they don't deserve to be forgiven, they don't deserve to have a good life, they need to suffer for what they did. When you're able to disconnect the personality, the persona, and who they really are at their core, it makes forgiveness a lot easier. Because so often when we watch movies or shows or plays, or read a book, you know, there's a character that can be classified as the bad guy. But the more you get to know that character and you get a glimpse of their history and their past and what happened to them, and, you know, they're not bad all the time, they do have a little bit of good too. You know, it's harder to call them the bad person, the bad guy, you know,
vilify them. Right.
Right. It's harder to vilify them when you know, when you have a deeper understanding of what's going on with that character. And the same thing is for us, you know, with ourselves and with our relationships. This work has definitely helped me to have a deeper understanding for people, and has helped me to be more understanding and give more grace to people, because they are the way they are for a reason, you know. And a lot of times, you know, people who have been hurt go on to hurt other people. And so when we can connect with who they are at their core, which is divine source God, we can more easily forgive the things that they've done, you know, that hurt us.
I love that. And that is the perception that we were talking about, and forgiveness, and how it's all tied together.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the show Les Miserables?
Oh, I love Les Mis. Oh, it's my favorite musical. And I'm not a singer, but I'll sing the whole thing.
I love Les Mis. Well, you know, one of the songs, you know, has such a profound line, and it goes, to love another person is
to see the face of God. I love that one. That's my favorite.
Yes, it's so true.
You just gave me goosebumps.
You know, that's what love does. That's what forgiveness does. It helps us to be in alignment with love, you know, the real love that comes from Creator, you know. And when we can love another person, we really are loving God, because that's who we all are. We're all aspects of the One, you know.
I love that. I love that. Oh, you gave me goosebumps. It's exactly what I needed today, Christina. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome.
See, you intuitively knew what I needed today.
There you go.
There you go. Thank you so much for being on my show. I'd love to have you again sometime.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us again your website so people can find you.
Soulwithfire.com.
I love it. All right. Yes. And we will be right back. Thank you, Christina.
Bye-bye.
And we are back. Didn't you love her? After we got off the show, and she actually did an ancestral clearing for me. So if I'm a little teary, I will tell you it's it's raw, but she got down to some things that I think were extremely important. So if that rings a bell with you, if there's a resonance that this is something that could help you, I would encourage you to reach out to Christina and talk to her, because I'll tell you, she's the real deal. I love her, and I wouldn't have anybody that I share with you that I didn't totally believe in. So I would invite you to do that, because, you know, we are all here together to help each other. There's so many people out there right now that are helping change the world, and one person can make a huge difference. And you understanding how you work and how you can change your energy could be what we're all waiting for, right? There's a tipping point. There's a critical mass. So however you do it, whether you get a hold of Christina, you meditate, you watch YouTubes, you read books, just get in that energy of being connected to source, because that's going to help all of us, right? So I would love to have you go to my website, lawyerattraction.com. There's some amazing things you can sign up for. My book is on Amazon, The Lawyer and the Law of Attraction. I have a new program coming out. So if you go to polykidkcjd.com, it's going to get you a way to sign up to have a one-on-one conversation with me. It's complimentary, and I will help you get really clear on where you're coming from. So it's a great way for you to reach out to me and have an ongoing conversation. And, you know, we're at the end of our hour, and I am glad you're here, and I am looking forward to seeing you next week. So as Ram Dass always says, we are just following each other home. And I'm always humbled and honored and very proud that we get to walk this path together. So until next time, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and I am the Lawyer of Attraction.
Thank you for joining Paula Kidd Casey on Lawyer of Attraction Radio Show. For more information about Paula programs and her book, please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance.